Welcome into ESPN FC alongside Shaka Hislop. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Shaka, a lot to look forward to this weekend, but really nowhere else to start beyond the Champions League draw. The quarterfinal field is set, and here to help us break it all down, we've got Craig Burley, Julian Laurent, and Archie Rin-Tutt. Let's go ahead and take a look at the quarterfinal matchups. The headliner, no doubt about it, Bayern Munich and PSG. Action getting underway April 6th. It's a rematch of last year's final winner. That gets the winner of Manchester City, Borussia Dortmund in the semifinals. That could be an incredible matchup as well. Other side of the bracket, Real Madrid, Liverpool, another Champions League final rematch. A winner of that gets the winner between Porto and Chelsea. PSG Bayern seems like an obvious place to start. So does Julian Laurent's Twitter in the moments after it was announced. Jules, I see a lot of emojis. None of them are happy with your PSG ways. Why so pessimistic?
It's not being pessimistic. It's just that this is the toughest draw with Man City that PSG could have had, and it was more like, all right, okay, here we go again. I don't think that it's dead certain that PSG will be knocked out by Bayern Munich. I think they're certainly. I would see some weaknesses in that Bayern Munich team, of course. And if you remember the Champions League final, PSG, for most of that final, were really good and they created a lot of chances and should have scored or could have scored. And maybe the outcome of that final would have been different if they had taken their chances. So I don't think it's dead certain that Bayern will win, but it's still the toughest draw that they could have had. And it's a shame that they had such a tough draw.
Archie, you're in Germany. I wonder what was the reaction there. Do people see Bayern as the odds-on favorite for this?
They do, but they still look at what PSG had to offer. And as Jules states there, that final was a very close one. The difference this time round is that Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting will be wearing the red of Bayern Munich. He'll probably be on the bench, though, as it stands. But no, in all seriousness, if you play that game that Bayern and PSG did last season, if you play that 10 times, I don't think more than 6 or 7 of them really are going to go in Bayern's favour, which is still the majority, but that is to say that the amount of space that Bayern leave behind their back line is an opportunity for any team, even more so when you have Kylian Mbappe there as well. Neymar's fitness, I know he's been out recently, but as you can see by the amount of goals that Bayern have conceded in the Bundesliga this season, they are there to be got at. The question is, can you outscore them? And right now, tricky to see that.
Craig, how do you see this one playing out? And do you think it'll bear any similarities to what we saw in last year's Champions League final?
Got a funny feeling it'll be even more exciting than the final. I mean, the final was obviously very, very tense. And I thought, as that game wore on, Bayern defended pretty well against that PSG attack. But listen, one, they need to get Neymar fit and available. They need to have the strongest team because that's what these players were brought in for. Now, that's kind of out of their hands. But I think Jules are no better than me, but I think he should be back from what we're hearing. And from Bayern's perspective, yes, the top of the Bundesliga, Leipzig are putting them under some pressure. But it's not all been plain sailing. I mean, as Archie said, they're outscoring teams, but they were 2-0 down against Dortmund. Had to fight their way back. They had a really poor performance in Frankfurt where they lost. Okay, they had some injuries, but it wasn't a great afternoon for them. So it's not flawless from Bayern, but they're the team to beat. I mean, we can talk about City and PSG. Bayern are the team to beat. They're the champions. They haven't gone away, and they still have that experience. So, yeah, they're the favourites, but, boy, it should be a great couple of games.
Jules, the big Neymar question is out there now. I guess we have to say, will he be back and what impact would it have if he's not available?
So he will be back 100% unless there's a setback between now and the first leg next month. The problem is, and he shaved his beard, by the way, which makes him look 5 years younger and probably 10 kilos lighter. But the problem is there's a game on Sunday against Lyon, which is a huge clash in the title race in France, which he might be able to start it, but won't be able to play the whole 90 minutes. Then it's the international break. And as we know, in South America, there's no qualifiers, so he will be in Paris. And then you've got one game the weekend before the Champions League comes back, and that's it. So potentially just one game and a half that he will be able to play before the Bayern Munich clash. And because he hasn't played for more than a month now, he might be really short in terms of match fitness, which is a worry for PSG, a worry for Neymar, because as Greg was saying, he's so important to that team just by retaining the ball, for example, and in all the patterns of play, but also because he could be decisive at any time against anyone in a game. So the fitness of Neymar would be a little worry, but at least he's back, and with him in the team, it's a very, very different story.
Seb, that's actually a good point. Because, sorry, Shaq, but you know, one of the criticisms that not necessarily from us, but one of the scenarios that's been thrown out there over the last numerous years with PSG is they come into the later stages of the Champions League knockout competition, and they've kind of got, most seasons, not all, they've kind of got Ligue 1 wrapped up, and they're already kind of switching off, and then they've got to flick that light switch again for the Champions League. That's what some people have said has been the reason for them at times to get knocked out. Well, this season they haven't got that because, as Joe said, they're in a fight. And so they can't switch off weekend to weekend with the Champions League games coming up in midweek because they're still fighting for that title. So that actually could spur them on, that the fact that they're having to be competitive in the weekend and they're not sort of 10 or 14 points clear at the top and switching off. So we'll see if that has any effect on the performances, because they're going to have to perform at top level if they're going to beat this Bayern side.
Shaka, how significant is the gap between the two teams?
I think more than enough that Bayern got this job done and done quite easily. Listen, as we keep saying, this is a quarter final, so there are good, every team left is poses a viable threat, and if Neymar comes in and contributes in the way that we know he can, yes, it gives Bayern Munich a lot to think about. I also think that if you do want to knock the biggest of clubs off of their perch, it's easier to do so in a one-off game as per PSG and the final, though they didn't get it done. Over two, it's an even huger ask. And though Bayern Munich have had their issues, and in particular since returning from Qatar, where they return, they draw one, they lose one, but then in the next five games, they score 18 goals. And that speaks to their strength. Though they concede, I just don't see how certainly this PSG stop Bayern Munich scoring over two legs, where I just feel they are just so much better.
Jules, real quickly, do you see the Champions League winner? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that there's one factor as well that we need to take into account for both PSG and Bayern, and that's that they've both got really big domestic games on the weekend before this. PSG will face Lille, who are currently top of Liga, and Bayern have to go away to RB Leipzig. So the fact that they have to calculate that in, there's not, I would say, the usual room for rotation, at least in terms of Bayern. If Bayern were playing somebody in the bottom three sides of the division, then I'd expect maybe one or two players to sit on the bench. But I think that that's going to play a role in this game as well.
What a matchup, should be great. You know what else is great, Shaka? Extra time.
Oh, it is.
Take questions from fans via Twitter. We got Shaka, Jules, and Archie. Two journos and a goalie, an eclectic mix. What could go wrong?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's keep our discussion of the Champions League quarterfinal draw going here on ESPN FC. We've covered Bayern Munich and PSG. Let's turn our attention to Manchester City, Dortmund, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Porto, and Chelsea. Shaq and Craig still with us. We welcome Nedim Manua and Ian Dark to the show. Let's start with Manchester City, Dortmund. Nedim, your former club, obviously heavy favorites against Dortmund. Do you have any doubts that they'll be able to get the job done over two legs?
Well, obviously they're going to be favorites, but you know, it's the Champions League quarterfinal. whichever game you have here, it's going to be a tough match. But I think City overall will be happy to be drawn against a team who domestically are struggling just that little bit. So, you know, City, as I say, they're one of the best teams in Europe at this moment in time. So they probably didn't fear anybody. But as far as the draw goes, you would argue it's favourable. But the big tie, should they manage to get through the quarterfinal, awaits for them in the semi-final, in my opinion.
Ian, interesting matchup here. For no other reason, we get a look at Haaland against potentially his future employer. But also Manchester City's history at this stage of the competition under Pep Guardiola. How relevant is that? How important is that ahead of these matches?
I think Pep Guardiola is still haunted by what happened last season against Lyon, where he showed them way too much respect and Manchester City went out. And it was another reminder that when you get to this stage of the competition, every team really that has got this far is pretty high quality. So you've got to get things right. But I'm with Nedim. I think Borussia Dortmund's style, which is usually quite expansive, they're not the kind of team to sit in. They'll go for it. I think there might be two great games, but I think Manchester City will probably have a bit too much firepower for them, and they've got easily the better defence, which might be crucial. So I see Manchester City going through. It will be interesting. Erling Haaland playing against the club who may be employing him in the summer. So plenty of subplots.
Nedim, you're in Manchester. I'm sure your City friends are telling you all how they feel about this match. Are there nerves given the club's history in the quarterfinals under Pep?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you know, if you've never won the tournament before, you always enter this stage and you are just that little bit anxious. They've never made it to the final. They're concerned, can we do it? Can we get there? And at the moment, you look at the team, you look at the way they're playing, you believe there's every chance that they can. But I think one thing to look back on in terms of the way that Pep was last year is that this time around, I think it's fair to say that in the last few months, people haven't leveled the criticism that maybe he's overthinking things. So if you go into these Champions League quarterfinals and maybe semi-finals and then he reverts to that, then I think it's a big shock. But I think a lot of the strength that they've had over the past few months has been through consistency. I think no matter who goes out to play for them, whichever game they play in, you kind of know what to expect. And hopefully for them, that's going to be the thing which will take them over the line to get to the next stage and then maybe get to a final. And then who knows what could happen from there.
Craig, what do you think? Any chances Ian says that Manchester City here haunted by their Champions League past?
Well, the Champions League past has been a side that hasn't defended particularly well. And that's been the downfall. The downfall against Lyon, the downfall against Liverpool in this competition. And so that's changed this year, certainly up to this point. Defensively, they've been brilliant and more pragmatic, but still entertaining. And this is a really good tie for them, I think, for the reason that Ian mentioned, is that Dortmund are really not a side that are set up both in terms of the way they play and the personnel that they have, to try and sit in behind the ball like maybe a Porto would or one or two others who are quite happy to do that. And so it makes for an entertaining game. And look, there's a reason that this Dortmund side are 16 points off the top of the Bundesliga. Because they haven't defended well and they haven't been consistent enough. And really and truly, if City were to go out over the two legs, it would be, bearing in mind Dortmund's season, it would be a big shock. Yeah, they've got some good players and obviously they've got one of the most talked about youngsters in world football. But City are the real deal. And if they've got their heads on, I really don't see Dortmund beating them over 180 minutes.
Interesting there that Craig mentions Erling Haaland. Shaka, how much damage do you think he can do to City?
A lot. He's one of those strikers that I think you have to have a game plan for. He's earned the praise that he's gotten from all corners in football. And it's an interesting test for City, given how much credit we've given them, how much we've sang their own praises defensively, which we haven't been able to do for many a City team coming up to this season. And now this is their most significant test. And you want to see how Haaland does up against this defence. You want to see how this defence does up against Erling Haaland. The other question for me, and why this really is an intriguing tie, is you just wonder how much of City's past failings get into their head. And in previous seasons, despite how good City have been in the league and the records they have broken and rewritten, I just feel, especially in this competition, Pep Guardiola has tried to overthink the opponent. The one thing about Borussia Dortmund is you knew what they're going to do. They've not tried to disguise who they are, how they approach games. for quite some time. So certainly this is one that you get your game plan right, you don't second guess. And I think finally, City get over this hurdle at least.
Nadim, we mentioned Erling Haaland, the potential of a move to Manchester City. Would that be the perfect fit in your eyes?
I'd like it, yeah. I'd like it, especially if Sergio Aguero is going to be leaving. But I think it's one of those things where Pep is only going to be recruiting people who fit into their system. And for now, it looks like Haaland would do just that. And if they do manage to get a striker like him in, then, you know, anything is possible for them. But the amount of money that's going to be involved, you know, it's going to be a test for absolutely anybody. So, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how he does against City. And even though the talk will be about, is this a dress rehearsal for what's to come in the future? I think Haaland's going to have lots of options, and hopefully he chooses City if City do try and pursue him, because I think, as I say, he could help get the club to that next level again.
All right, then, let's turn our attention to Real Madrid and Liverpool. Of course, a rematch of the 2018 Champions League final. Ian, neither team really lighting it up domestically. Who's your favourite between these two?
Well, I covered Real Madrid the other night against Atalanta, and for all the problems that they've been having, and they're probably not going to win La Liga again this season, I think they are improving. I think they are now beginning to find a kind of a groove, and that could be ominous. Modric, Kroos, Casemiro, that midfield is still there. It's still functioning. It's still quality. Benzema scoring every game now that he's fit again. Sergio Ramos has just returned from 2 months out. So I think it's a dangerous tie for Liverpool, particularly because of the problems they've had, which we've been talking about for a long time now. But I think one plus for Liverpool is, and they have to stick with this, they're getting Fabinho now back in midfield where he belongs, not playing in central defence. He's had to fill in there. But I think whatever they do, they've got to keep him in that midfield because they're starting to look themselves a little bit more with him there.
Craig, between these two, who do you see going through?
Real Madrid, because of the things that Ian mentioned. And look, the decision to put Fabinho back in the midfield was a really good one against Red Bull Leipzig and playing the less experienced players at the back. Because Leipzig are one, Liverpool had a lead, and two, they're a little bit lightweight up front, particularly after selling Timo Werner. However, as Ian mentioned, with Benzema and others, Real Madrid are a different prospect. And so that's a conundrum for Jurgen Klopp. And I just don't think with such an inexperienced potential partnership at the back, Liverpool are going to go any further in this competition, because it's going to be so difficult for those players to play against, you know, some of the best players in Europe. It's been a struggle for them in the Premier League, and that's why they are where they are in the domestic table. And so for those reasons, this season and the horrendous injuries that Liverpool have, I think it's a real long shot for them to be going through, even against a Real Madrid side that have not been the best this year.
Nadim, we're painting a pretty bleak picture here for Liverpool fans. You agree?
Unfortunately, yes. But I think the reason that I agree is because the second leg being at Anfield isn't what it was in years gone by. Mm. I think if there was a fan base there, I would be very reluctant to go against Liverpool. But I think teams are going to Anfield now and they don't fear anything, as we've seen in the league. And then when you see the sort of high-level talent they'll be going there, when we're talking about Benzema's, Modric's and people like this, you know, they've been there and they've done that. And I think if they step into that arena and Liverpool don't have that 12th man, I think I fancy Real Madrid to make it a tough game for them. I think Real Madrid will ultimately go through.
Chuck, and neither team really coming in with any momentum.
Yeah, I make Real Madrid favourites, I don't think this is a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination. I think despite Liverpool's struggles, they play their best football in Europe, where the pace is a little bit slower, it's not as physical, and they've been able to cope a whole lot better. So that being said, you are talking about a Real Madrid with experience who've been there and done it. And though I don't think this is, by any stretch of the imagination, a great Real Madrid team, I do feel Liverpool have a shot here. Again, I do make Real Madrid favourites. I just don't see this as being cut and dry or a foregone conclusion.
Last of the four quarterfinals, Chelsea and Porto. Of course, Chelsea undefeated under Thomas Tuchel since he took over as manager. Shaka, as we look at this one, I mean, any chance you give Porto any chance in this tie?
Well, like in all the ties, when you get to this stage of the competition, a quarterfinal, you are coming up against good teams. But as you look at Porto, and as much as you applaud the two legs that they played against Juventus in getting here, Juventus had a huge hand in that, in some of the goals that they conceded. And the one thing you have to say about Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea is they don't concede. They certainly don't give goals away cheaply and won't do that against Porto. And so for me, that's what it comes right down to. Not giving them the cheap goals. They do have more than enough firepower up at the other end. Porto have shown that they do concede and concede rather cheaply themselves. Chelsea go through.
Wow, okay. Porto obviously capable of beating Juventus. What do you think about their chances against Chelsea, Craig?
I think they'll be relatively pleased with the draw. I mean, I saw their game against Juventus, the second leg, and Pepe, who's 38, played at the back, and for most part, he could have waited another 10 years and still played. Because, as Shaq said, Juventus, for most part, until it was desperation, until Porto went down to 10 men for a silly sending off, were really lackluster. But they're no mugs. I mean, any team in this point of the competition are no mugs. They're very well organised. They've got a big physical threat up front. They've got Oliveira in the middle of the park, who's very good in the ball, great striker of the ball, very composed. So they're no mugs. I just think with the organisation that Tuchel's put in at Chelsea and the momentum that they've got over the two legs, they could go through with the odd goal or two, because Chelsea haven't been scoring a bunch of goals.
All right, let's take one more look then at the odds. Saw these a little bit earlier in the show. Manchester City, Bayern Munich installed as your top two favorites. Chelsea, obviously the draw against Porto, surely figuring into that calculation. Nada, Manchester City, your favorites as well to win the Champions League as we stand?
Well, I think they're in the best form, so technically I understand why they've put them there. But given the fact they haven't made a final, and I'd always be a bit hesitant, but I think when you look at some of the factors coming into this stage of the season now, where Pep has been more consistent with his approach, I think the team is very much understanding what's required, and they seem to be just be able to handle and manage games, which is a strong, strong asset to have. So I get it. I hope they do it. But, you know, I think if they do manage to win in this quarterfinal, that maybe the toughest game of it all would be in the semifinals against maybe a PSG or a Bayern Munich. But they are more than capable. And if they limit mistakes, I think they could go all the way this year.
Ian, Manchester City, Bayern Munich, anybody else? Who's your favourite?
No, I think those two are right up there. Paris Saint-Germain, I didn't like the way they played in the second game against Barcelona. They might not have got away with that on another night, because Barcelona might have got 4 or 5 in the first half of the second leg. So that put me off Paris Saint-Germain a little bit. Chelsea have got a nice, rounded, polished look about them at the moment under Tuchel. I think they're dark horses. I mean, it's intriguing. We could get another of those very feisty, remember them, Chelsea-Liverpool semi-finals, if Liverpool got past Real Madrid. So that's something else to look forward to. Now, I don't think the bookmakers have got this right. Mm. I think Bayern Munich are the champions, and still somebody knocks them off the perch. They deserve to be the favourites for this competition. And, of course, it does look like it might well be a Bayern Munich Manchester City semi-final, which would have been a decent final, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. All right, then, gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Speaking of quarterfinal draws, here's your Europa League quarterfinal field set. Manchester United, Granada, Arsenal, Slavia, Prague, Ajax against Roma, and Dinamo Zagreb, the Spurs killers against Villarreal.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
FA Cup into the quarterfinal round this weekend, of course, available exclusively on ESPN+. Saturday, it's Bournemouth, the only non-Premier League team left, against Southampton after that, Everton and Manchester City. Sunday, Chelsea host Sheffield United, followed by Leicester City hosting Manchester United. Shaka, Craig, Nadim, and Ian all back with us. Nadim, we always hear about Manchester City's depth. I guess this is the competition we need to see it.
Yeah, you could say that. But I think Pep Guardiola has been very, very fortunate this year that overall most of the players have been healthy, and he's gotten to a point where the team that he puts out isn't reliant upon, say, certain individuals, because everybody that goes out there, they understand their role, they understand their importance in a side. And should somebody step out, the person that steps in seems to just do a great job. Because I think for most weeks now, we're seeing four or five changes, whether that's in the league, in the cup and so on, but they never really feel like they're getting weaker. So to be in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup and know that you can rotate, but they're not weaken a side, is a great position to be in. And I think for this particular tie, the last time they played against Everton, I think it ended up being quite comfortable for City. So they've got a good memory when they're going there. But then also, as I say, Everton, I think Everton know this is a, you know, this is a one-off. This is a big chance to try and potentially get to a semi-final, get to a final. So I'd expect it to be tougher this time than it was in the league. But as you said from the start, City's depth is so good at the moment that I think no matter who they put out, I think they'll probably tend to be favourites for pretty much any game.
Ian, this is City's fourth match in the last 10 days. Does that give Everton any hope?
I don't really like Everton's chances. I think Manchester City went to Goodison a few weeks ago in the Premier League. They won by 3-1. They've now won 24 of their last 25 matches. And what Nedham said is right. They can rotate the team without really weakening it in any way at all. And it was an interesting quote after that league game from Carlo Ancelotti, the Everton manager, who said he thought it was, and I quote, almost impossible to compete with them. So that's quite something to say. They are in another level at the moment to all the domestic opposition, and they do take the FA Cup pretty seriously. And of course, it's part of the quadruple, which Pep Guardiola doesn't want to talk about, but Alexander Zinchenko apparently does, the left back. I think they're going to win.
Craig, on that front, would you bet on or against Manchester City to get all four trophies this year?
I'd bet against it. I mean, that's difficult, really difficult. So I think the odds would be saying that they'll get trophies, but all four, I don't know. Look, to go back to a couple of points Ian made there, is one, how do you know when City are taking a competition serious? Because no matter what team they put out, you say, oh, he's taking it serious this week, because that's the kind of squad they have. And to the other point, I think Ancelotti said if you try to outplay City, they'll outplay you. If you try and outfight them, they'll outfight you. They've got the physical strengths as well. So how the hell does he give a team talk? After the quote that he came out with after the league game, what does he say to his team? Oh, I was lying a couple of weeks ago. They're not that good. Think about it. You've got Olsen and Pickford out as well. They have no senior goalkeeper. They have no Doucouré, who works very hard box-to-box in the middle of the park. They've got no James Rodriguez, who continues to have calf problems. Yeah, they've got the physical threat of Calvert-Lewin and that ball over the top, but as Ancelotti saw for himself, the partnership that he put out at the back on that particular game, Guardiola was able to handle that. So, yeah, I think it would take a very poor City performance for them to go out, and I just don't see that happening.
Shaka, do you agree with Craig? Would you bet against City for all four?
I think right now, yeah. Okay. It's short odds for that they don't complete all four. And listen, as much as the league title may be wrapped up, you have a cup final to come against Spurs, a team who, despite their disappointments, despite the fact that they're just outside the top four playing for nothing else, you have a way to go in this FA Cup. And then, of course, the big one that's eluded them for quite some time is the Champions League. As good as they've been, and as good as deep and as good as the squad has been utilized, that's a huge ask for anybody, regardless of we're talking about City, Bayern Munich, or any of the big clubs in Europe. Right now, I still think it's shorter odds to not do all four.
Okay. That match on Saturday. On Sunday, Leicester City hosts Manchester United, team separated by just 1 point in the table. Who's your favorite in this game?
Right now, I'm thinking Leicester City. Despite how good Manchester United have been on the road, I just wonder, after going to Milan in the Europa League final, how that affects them this weekend with that shorter turnaround, keeping in mind that Leicester have had no midweek games. Leicester's last game last week against Sheffield United, where they ran out comfortably 5-0, I just feel they'll be the fresher, they'll be the better coming into it. I'm leaning Leicester.
Mm. Craig, Manchester United is underdogs against Leicester. What do you think?
No, I'm leaning Manchester United because the head-to-head would suggest that United have had the upper hand. Also, you're looking at Leicester's injury problems, in particular, no Maddison, no Barnes, no Pereira and others. And I just think whenever they faced recently, I think it was a Twanzebe own goal that levelled the last time out at 2-2. But apart from that, United have had the better of it. So even though the game's in Leicester and United have had the travels, I just think they're going to be a little bit too strong for Brendan Rodgers' side.
Nadim, you're in Manchester. How bad does Ole Gunnar Solskjaer need a trophy to call this season a success?
I think for himself, I think that's massive. Given the fact that he was a player who was there when the club was at its most successful period, I think he understands what it is to represent Manchester United. I think in recent years, the talk has been, let's get to finals, let's get to this. But I think he has a higher standard. And I think he knows that his team is capable of doing so. You know, when you look at the teams that left in the draw, you look at a team like Man City, and United have beaten City. So they've shown that they can win. In a one-off game, that's essentially no problem for them. But to piggyback something that Shaka said, the Thursday to Sunday thing, I forgot about that, and that is something which would play into my mind a little bit in terms of deciding who would win this game. But I just think for this weekend, for Manchester United, with the manager that they have, who is essentially a winner in my opinion, I think the team, it might not be the best performance, but I think they're capable of grinding out a result. And I think that's what they'll probably do this weekend, and maybe that's what they'll do to get to the final.
Ian, can Manchester United call this season a success without a trophy?
Well, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I would say yes. He gave a press conference the other day and he said that trophies were good for the ego, but he measured the success by the ability to get league points, and they're 12 points better off this year than they were last. But I agree with Nedim. Yeah, they do need a trophy, I think. They've lost two of their last 36 away matches, and you saw in Milan, really, a story of their season. They weren't that great, but again, they got the result. And whatever their problems, a bit further forward at the moment, they're defending pretty well. So I think they will get the better of Leicester, who are a bit erratic at home and do have a few out at the moment.
Craig, trophies don't equal progress at Manchester United. What do you make of all his comments there?
No, I can somewhat see what he's saying. However, you know, just to sort of judge it on, we've got a few more points than last year, and if we don't win a trophy, that's okay, whilst our biggest rivals across the city are romping away with the Premier League again and may win all four trophies. Who knows? We've talked about that. It's difficult. I think that's kind of trying to paper over the cracks and pull the wool over the fans' eyes a little bit. Whether they buy it or not, I don't know. But, you know, if winning no trophies in second is good enough for Manchester United, then so be it. But I always thought this club, particularly in the last 20 years, aimed for higher standards than that.
Nadim, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think when he says that, he's saying that just to the press, because I believe when he's inside that dressing room and he's talking to those players, I think he expects the very most from them. I think the fact that he's assembling a coaching staff, and I think with Darren Fletcher becoming a technical director and so on, I think he's got more and more winners in there and people who were there for very successful years at Man United. And all the talk about points and so on, I don't think he'd be saying that to his team. So even though, as I say, he says it, I think he's given off different messaging, and as a consequence, I think the team that he has, I think they know what the standard is. They're finally starting to realise after a few years what it is to play for Manchester United. And I think what's happening with City will disappoint them, but they've still got a chance to try and win something, whether it's the Europa League, whether it's the FA Cup, and I think they'll be very, very driven to do that.
All right, thanks, guys. A reminder about ESPN FC's YouTube channel. What do we got? Almost 900,000 subscribers over there. Join the party. Plenty of bonus content from the show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Just one match in the Bundesliga on Friday. RB Leipzig trying to chase down Bayern Munich away to Bielefeld. Just one goal in this one, Schalke. 46th minute. Dani Olmo going to set up Marcel Sabitzer.
And this is a really well-worked goal by Leipzig, pressing high up the park. Win the ball back. Sabitzer initially offside, not played to him though. And then Olmo picks him out perfectly. Tap it.
1-0 Leipzig in the 46th minute, and that's how it would finish. So it's the lone goal, the difference provided by the Austrian international. Here's what it means for the top of the table. Leipzig entered the day 4 points back of Bayern Munich. They've now cut the lead down to 1 point. Of course, Bayern Munich still to play on the weekend. Archie Rintut still with us. Archie, just how big a win was this for Leipzig? Of course, dropping points on the weekend against Frankfurt, fresh off getting eliminated from the Champions League. This felt huge.
It was huge. As Julian Nagelsmann put it, the game wasn't a firework exactly. But given the fact that RB Leipzig's next game in the Bundesliga is at home to Bayern on April 3rd, this was a very big win just to make sure that they remain within enough touching distance of Bayern. Due to their draw against Eintracht Frankfurt, the title is no longer in their own hands, but it means that with a win against Bayern next time, they can close the gap and make sure that we have a really exciting end to the season.
You mentioned Bayern, their home Saturday against Stuttgart. Stuttgart, kind of a surprise package. Are they good enough, though, to trouble Bayern here?
They are. I was at the reverse fixture, and the way that you trouble Bayern is being very good on the counter-attack, and that is something that Stuttgart most certainly are. They have Silas Wamangituka, who is a one-man counter-attacking machine at times this season. He's run the length of the pitch twice and scored so far this season, as I remember it. They've got Sasa Kalajdzic, who is in excellent form as well. As for Bayern, Joshua Kimmich is struggling with the sniffles, as Hansi Flick put it. So he might be a doubt. I think the only concern for Bayern is what's going to happen, not just in this game, but after it in the international break. Are they going to make sure that they have all their players back ready, fit for the start of April? I'd expect Bayern to have a little too much for Stuttgart here.
Elsewhere, Dortmund traveled to Cologne. Cologne won the reverse fixture. How worried should Dortmund be?
Cologne hadn't won any of their previous 18 Bundesliga games before they beat Dortmund last time. And what was even more galling for Borussia Dortmund was the fact that Cologne scored with the same set piece twice. It went to the back post twice and Elias Skiri tapped home twice. But Dortmund have come some way since then. That was under Lucien Favre, for example. And Edin Terzic has pointed out that Cologne weren't in great form coming into that last game. But you would say here that this is a game which Dortmund should be winning. They need to make sure as well that they put some pressure on Eintracht Frankfurt as well, because on the same day that RB Leipzig played Bayern, you have Dortmund against Eintracht Frankfurt, who are Dortmund's main rivals for fourth place in the Bundesliga. Erling Haaland also, I think, needs to make up for the biggest sitter that he's missed so far at Borussia Dortmund, which he missed in the final minute of stoppage time of this reverse fixture. So there's plenty to be getting on with here, particularly because for the umpteenth time here in Cologne, they're talking about this being the final game, potentially, of coach Marcus Gisdol. So there's a lot on the line.
All right, thank you very much, Archie. Here's a look at the Bundesliga weekend schedule. 5 games on Saturday, all of them available for you on ESPN+. Action starts at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. All that ahead of a triple header on Sunday.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Boy, between the title race in France and Germany, some pretty dramatic finishes of the season.
A lot. And though the favourites are there, so many others laying claim to that title.
All right, we're done. But extra time still ahead. Shaka, Archie, Jules, and your questions. Enjoy. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time, a Friday edition, a laughing Shaka Hislop, a serious Archie Rinsat, and a smiling Julien Laurent. All right, usually in Extra Time, we get into things that, you know, a little bit off the wall, stuff we don't get into in the show.
Do we have to maintain this
yes,
kind of
posture? Stare at the camera. Look
I
at the baby.
Laugh.
Look at the baby. Look at
Archie
the baby.
Just saw serious and... Jules somewhere in the middle?
No, you can mix it up.
All right, okay.
Extra Time is a long and winding road, as you'll see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't touch on this in the show. Now that you've seen the draw, who will win the Champions League? Shaka? Didn't we just do like a 40-minute show on this?
Yeah, we sure did. Who did I say during the show?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
I'm going to go Bayern Munich in that case.
Okay, sounds like a safe bet. Archie, what about you? Excuse me.
Liverpool.
Wow. Look, that's an Extra Time prediction right there. Why?
That won't come back to haunt you at all.
Yeah.
Wait, you're meant to make these seriously? The Champions League is a weird competition where not everything happens that you expect to happen. And I still expect Manchester City to somehow find a way to trip themselves up. So, yeah, Liverpool, why not?
All right, Shaka, how much do players really care about the draw considering you can't win the Champions League? Oh, I'm sorry. My producer just jumped in our ear and said it was very rude of me to skip Jules on that question. So,
because Jules is going to pick PSG. Jules is going to pick.
No, let's give him his opportunity. You never know. Jules, who's your favorite?
Shaka knows me so well now after all those years working together. I don't need to answer. You know PSG, and they're going to do it by beating Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Manchester City, and then Liverpool in the final. We do it the big way. Well, we don't do it at all.
There you go. I love it.
See, told you.
Shaka, how much do players really care about the draw, considering you can't win the Champions League without defeating the next best team at some point?
You can get an easy route to the final, and then in the final in a one-off
like PSG
game.
Last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't, you're just trying to upset Jules. You're just trying to get Jules even more upset.
I'm not trying to upset anybody.
PSG deserved to be in the final. Mm-hmm. They earned that right. Okay. Fair and square.
Very well. Jules, do you think we will ever see vintage Hazard like we saw him at Chelsea, or is that electric player gone even with full fitness?
It's a really good question, that. I think that the injury he suffered in that game against PSG, that Meunier tackle on his ankle, and the way the surgery happened, and the piece of metal that he has in his ankle now, the flexibility of the foot won't be the same, that's for sure. I still think that he can recover and almost get to 100% fit, and if he gets fit, even if his foot is maybe not as flexible as it used to be, that sort of the speed on the first 5 yards, which he always had, and I think will always be there if he's fit. So I think he will still get to almost close to the Hazard that we saw at times at Chelsea, but exactly the same way. I think that injury has taken something away, but I want to believe that not too much away from the best of the Hazard we could see.
All right. Jazz wants to know, what's next for Mourinho after, of course, Spurs go out of the Europa League against Dinamo Zagreb? Shaka, what do you think?
Listen, if or when Jose Mourinho leaves Spurs, it's only big clubs can afford Jose Mourinho. I don't think Jose Mourinho has any real interest in going anywhere else. I'll be honest, I could only see him landing in Italy. I just feel that he's exhausted so many of his options otherwise, I only see in Serie A, and even then I'm questioning exactly which club.
Interesting question, because he doesn't seem long for Spurs. Archie, what do you think would be a good next step for the special one?
Well, a good next step, that's a difficult one. I think he could maybe do something at Schalke right now, who are struggling quite badly. He might put them into shape because they're falling apart right now. But yeah, difficult to see who has enough money left to demand Jose Mourinho.
Jules, what do you think? Are we seeing the end of Mourinho at Spurs right now?
Well, if he's got two more years left on his contract at the end of this season, and considering how much money he earns per season, if they want to sack him and his staff, it would cost them around 40 million euros. Oh, so man. I'm not sure that's an option for them. I think what's next is the Portugal national team. I think that has to be one of his dreams, because it would be for people like him, I think, who means so much to their country. The country means so much to them. And I think at some point, Fernando Santos, who's done already an amazing job, especially winning the Euros in 2016. I can't remember against who, but they won the Euros. I think at some point he will leave his position, and then they'd be perfect for Mourinho.
I like you know something?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll happen, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest to see Spurs go and upset City in the League Cup final.
Really?
And then all of a sudden, we're talking about Spurs have won silverware.
Right.
And Jose Mourinho has justified everything, and despite the criticism, it's exactly like Jose Mourinho to end up doing that.
Sure. If there was one manager I wouldn't want that huge buyout attached to, though, Jose Mourinho from Spurs, that worries me. Jules, what do you think about the future of Antoine Griezmann? Do you think he's going to be a vital part of Koeman's plans next season, or would it be better for him and Barca to move on and build a future independent of each other?
Again, it's a very good question. I think it will depend a lot on what Messi does to start with, because if Messi decides to go, then I think you could see that there'll be more space to start, more room for Antoine in the team. That I think then you have to choose someone else around who you can build the team, and maybe then he's the right guy. If Messi stays and if Koeman stays as well, and you go down the route of, okay, Messi is going to nurture a very young team, and they need some money to strengthen some of the other positions. Right now, they don't have many assets that they don't want to keep, and that would bring them some money, and I think Griezmann is one of them. So I can still see him maybe having to leave the club in the summer, unfortunately.
What was that, Archie? Griezmann to Schalke.
With Mourinho.
Hey, if that happens, I think Griezmann's an interesting caliber of player, where he is undoubtedly somebody who would go into almost any team in the world, but is he going to get the status that he thinks he deserves? And the question is, will he find that at Barcelona? I think, as Jules rightly says, it all hangs on what Lionel Messi does this summer.
Mm. So just to get this straight, Archie is both a Schalke and Fulham fan?
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
What a jinx
not
you
a
are,
Schalke
Archie.
Fan.
No. Just oh, not a Schalke. You have Schalke stuff all around you, I just freely assumed. You're a jinx, Archie.
That's merely the latest edition of a German football magazine, which is talking about how they're ruining themselves.
Okay, all right. You're forgiven.
Sounds pretty accurate. Schalke, did you ever look for revenge against teams that had devastatingly previously beaten you? Will Salah and Liverpool look for revenge against Ramos and Real Madrid?
Revenge? I'm not sure revenge is the right word.
I mean, it was, but you know, will it still be in their minds, the final? What was it, 3 years ago now? Two and a half? Two and change?
For Liverpool, possibly, yeah. Given the way the game went, with Ramos and Salah, etc., I think that's a possibility. But to the question, if that ever happened to me, no.
Mm. You never had, never once?
Oh.
Did you go out and seek revenge, Shaka?
No, I'm just not that type of person, Sebi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold grudges. I forget and move on quickly.
Yes, forget you do oftentimes here on ESPN FC, like which pick you made earlier in the show. We'll leave it there for now. Plenty more ESPN FC on your screens throughout the week. Jules, Archie, Shaka, thank you so much. Extra time comes to an end. ESPN FC, don't miss a single episode.